Alright, so we'll say good morning. Let's begin today's we'll begin in the last four words of Kuf Chafav Amud Beis. Remember again, we started the new Mishnah yesterday. So the Mishnah said, Mefanin afilu arba v'chamish kufo shaltavin v'shaltua v'ya arachim ney bidl beis ha-medrash. So the Mishnah said that you are permitted to go ahead and on Shabbos clear away boxes of straw or boxes of wheat within a storehouse in order to make room for guests, or because you're giving a shiur and you need room for the talmidim. Or in other words, you can go ahead, now remember, the boxes of straw and the boxes of wheat would normally be considered muktzah, but because ultimately you need the space that they occupy, you're permitted to move four or five boxes. Now, the Gemara was dealing with why four or five? Why four or five? So we gave one answer yesterday. So the Gemara said, Rav Chista explained that four was from a small, storehouse, five was from a larger storehouse, and now Shmuel comes along and says, Shmuel Amar, Arba v'chamesh kida atap of tov chavzayin, kida amri inshi. So Shmuel says, it's just an expression. Four or five is the way people speak. You clear away four or five, which means you can clear away some of the boxes. Look at Rashi, kida amri inshi, cheshbon katan tchila, v'mistarit liyoser yifne yoser. You begin with a smaller amount, and if you need more, you'll clear away more. Mishum hach is fine. So the Gemara says, the ibay, afilo tuva nami mefanin. But technically, if you would need to clear away more than four or five boxes, you could clear away more than four or five boxes. Umay avaloas haotzar. But what does it mean, but you may not go ahead and clear out the storehouse? Shelo yigmar es kulo. What that means is, you may not clear out the storehouse in its entirety. Why? That's what we mentioned this yesterday. Dilma asila ashvuye gumos. Because you may go ahead, if you clear out the stress in its entirety, you'll expose the floor. The floor is not level. You may come then to go ahead and level the floor, and leveling the floor of a structure ultimately is bona. Aval aschule maschil. However, but you can go ahead and, let's say, begin to move around boxes of wheat and straw, even from a storehouse that you have never used. Umani, and whose opinion does this reflect? Rabbi Shimon hid the lesli mokta. It's Rabbi Shimon who does not hold of Mokta. Now, I also remember we've seen this machlokes Rabbi Yehuda and Rabbi Shimon many times throughout this Masechta. It doesn't, of course, Rabbi Shimon holds of Mokta. Everybody holds of Mokta. The idea is that Rabbi Shimon has a much more expansive or lenient view of Mokta. According to Rabbi Yehuda, in order for an object to be considered usable on Shabbos, it has to be actively designated for use on Shabbos. If you don't actively designate, you can't use it on Shabbos. According to Rabbi Shimon, no, you don't have to actively designate it. As long as an item is usable on Shabbos, technically usable on Shabbos, even if I don't have in mind to use it before Shabbos, that is not Mokta. Therefore, the Gemara is suggesting over here that when the Mishnah said that you could even begin to clear out a new storehouse means I've never used any of the objects in it before, you could still clear it out partially on Shabbos. That's Rabbi Shimon, who has a more lenient view of Mokta. Tan Rabbanan. You may not go ahead and begin to clear out a storehouse on Shabbos. But what can you do? You can make for yourself a path in order that you could go ahead and get in and out of the storehouse. So the Gemara says, one second. You can make for yourself a pathway. But one second, the price seems to be contradicting itself. On one hand, the Braisa said that you may not go ahead and start clearing out from a storehouse that you never used before on Shabbos. On the other hand, the Braisa says that what? That you can clear out the path for yourself on Shabbos, which would seem to indicate that you can move the boxes of wheat and straw. So which one is it? To which the Gemara says, Hachikomer, this is what it means to say. Ose bo shvil biraglov bichnisaso bitziaso. If the storehouse was never used before, so you really should not move the boxes with your hands, because they're mukta. But what you can do is, you can go ahead and you could move the boxes with your feet, thereby clearing a path for yourself. Now, I will say, the reason why this is very interesting, look at Rashi, Biraglo, Mefana Biraglo Lekana Lekan. You can move the mukta items with your feet from here and here, here and there. Derech halichaso, in your manner of walking, do lo havi tiltul, for this is not called carrying. Now, what's fascinating about this statement of the Gemara is, and we'll see this later on, this is an explicit Mishnah, we'll see later on that it could very well be that the real definition of carrying, of moving Mokta on Shabbos, is only problematic when you do it with your hands. But to go ahead and move muktzah with any other part of your body will not be problematic. So to kick muktzah, to move muktzah with your feet, would be okay. Now again, we'll see. We're reserving judgment on us until we get to it. We'll get to the Mishnah Kuf Mem or Kuf Mem Aleph later on. But again, the Gemara is suggesting over here that even in a case where you can't move muktzah biyadayim, you can move it with your raglayim. Tan Rabbanan, Teruah Tzibura, if you have piled grain, Bizman Shehiskil Bama Erev Shabbos, Mutra Listapik Memeno B'Shabbos. So the Gemara is like this. If I have a pile of grain, if you began to use the pile on Erev Shabbos, you could continue to use it on Shabbos. Right? Ve'im Lav, and if you have not begun to use it on Erev Shabbos, then what? Asr Listapik Memeno B'Shabbos Div Rebbe Shimon. Rebbe Shimon says you may not use it on Shabbos. Look at Rashi. Tevuah Tzibura, Muchacha Milsa, when the wheat is piled, that is a clear intention, a clear declaration, to Huktza La'otzar. Both I remember, people would pile grain when they had intention to go ahead and put it into a granary, put it into a silo, put it into a storehouse. So the idea of piling it is in and of itself a declaration of intent to store. Because it's going to be stored, therefore by definition that removes it from active day-to-day use. Therefore, Reb Shimon suggests that if you use the pile on Erev Shabbos, it shows that you're making it usable. You could continue to use it on Shabbos, but if you haven't used it Erev Shabbos, you can't use it on Shabbos itself. Reb Acha Matir. Reb Acha says, no, even if you did not begin to use it on Erev Shabbos, you can still go ahead and use it on Shabbos. So the Gemara says, Klape Laya. Now, Klape Laya literally means the matter should be reversed. And we'll say, why is this interesting? Because over here, Rabbi Shimon is the restrictive opinion. Right? Rabbi Shimon is the one who says that unless you began to use the pile on Erev Shabbos, you can't use it on Shabbos. That's strange. Why? Because Rabbi Shimon is always the lenient one by muktzah, right? We just said before, Rabbi Shimon is the one who holds that you don't need to actively designate items for use on Erev Shabbos. As long as it has a technical use on Shabbos, it's totally mutter. Ela ema divrei Rabbi Acha v'Rabbi Shimon matir. The Gemara says, Eina Chinami, flip it around. Rabbi Acha is the one who says that in order to use grain from the pile on Shabbos, you have to have begun using it on Erev Shabbos. And Rabbi Shimon is the one who says, no, you can even use it on Shabbos even if you have not begun to use it on Erev Shabbos. Kama Shir Tevuah Tzibura. So the Gemara says, how much, when we speak about this idea that when you begin to pile grain, that in and of itself is a declaration of storage. And that declaration of storage, according to some, at least, according to Rabbi Acha and others, makes the object muktzah on Shabbos, because your intent is to store it, not to use it. How much is considered to be a pile of grain? Right? What is the definition of a pile of grain? So the Gemara says, Tana, Kama Shir Tevuah Tzibura, Lesech. It's a Lesech. Now, we'll say, we'll get into a Lesech. A Lesech, Rashi says, is a Chatzi Kur, who tests above Sin, 15 Sa. It's a pretty significant amount of wheat. Rav Nuchumi bar Zechariah, me Abaye. Rav Nuchumi bar Zechariah asked Rav Abaye, Shir Tevuah Tzibura Bekama. What is the shir? What is the amount of tevuah of wheat that is, when it's piled, it would be considered as if it's being put into storage? Amrle Hari Amru Shir Tevuah Tzibura Lasech. Okay, so another price that supports this. Iboyilehu. Now we get into a very interesting question. Hani Arba Bechamish Kupos Dika Amar. Arba v'chamish kupos in tfeilo. You want to listen to this. When the Mishnah says, remember how the Mishnah starts, you can go ahead and you can clear out four or five boxes, kupas a box, of wheat or straw. So now, when the Mishnah says that you could go ahead and you could clear out four or five boxes of wheat or straw in order to make room for people to sit, whether it's guests, whether they're giving a shear. So does that mean, Arba v'chamish kupos in tfeilo. So now maybe the Mishnah is saying like this: that dafka the most you can carry is what, four or five, no more than that. Alma lemeute behilucha adif. Now what does that tell you? What that tells you is that when moving muktzah, even when you have a license to move muktzah, we try to decrease the number of trips you make. Right. So essentially, when we say you can clear four or five boxes, you know what? That's another way of saying you can go ahead and go back and forth four or five times. But that's the fact. We don't want you going back more than four or five times. Now, I will say, the interesting part in that is, you could pile up as much wheat as you want in those boxes. Right? So you could make the boxes exceptionally heavy. See, even though, again, you're going to be schlepping a heavier load, we'd rather you make less trips with heavier loads than more frequent trips with lighter loads. Odzilma. So that's one way we can interpret the Mishnah. That 4 or 5 means 4 or 5, no matter how heavy you want to make them, but we're trying to minimize the number of trips you make. Odilma, or perhaps, Lemeute Masui Adith. No. Maybe what we would rather is what? Go ahead and have you make more trips, but what? But with lighter loads. So at the end of the day, although you're going back and forth more frequently, you're schlepping left. You're schlepping less. I'm sorry. You're schlepping less. Look at Rashi. Odilma mi'uti masay adif ve'imba lifnos pekelim kitanim kashir hei kupos mutter urachista kaboy le da'amar hei dafka fine. So the idea is, it's a fundamental machlokas, which you can understand, it's so profound, which is on Shabbos, when you have a license to move things, how do we want you to move it? Do we want you to decrease your number of trips, or do we want you to decrease the weight of the load you are carrying? The nafkamina, of course, is that if it's all about the trips, we'll load you up with a heavier load in order for you to make less trips. As opposed to if it's about decreasing the load, we'd rather you have go back and forth more frequently, but not break a sweat with carrying the heavy load. Tashma, the Tani Chada, mefanin afilo arve v'chamish kupos, shal kadei shemen v'shal kadei yayin. So listen to this, Rabbi said. The Gemara says, well, maybe we could resolve from the following brisa. One brisa says that you can go ahead and you can clear out 4 or 5 boxes of jugs of oil and jugs of wine. Okay. The Tanya Idach, another Brisa says, Be'eser v'chamesh esrei. Another Brisa says, you can even clear out even 10 and even 15. So the Gemara says, my love b'haikim, if so, we'll say, which one is it? Can you clear out 5, 10, or 15? My love b'haikim, if they're not arguing about the following point, Demar savar mi'ite v'hu lucha adif. One opinion holds that what? We'd rather you travel less. Right? So for example, the first Brisa that says that we'd rather you travel less, is, right, the first price that says 4 or 5 is talking, we'd rather you travel less, so load up the jugs. Load up the jugs, but travel less. Umar savar mi'uti b'masa adiv. And the other opinion that says even 10 or 15 is saying, what? No, we'd travel more, but carry less each time. Umar says, lo, t'kuli amma mi'uti b'halucha adiv. Everyone agrees that when you have a license to move mukta items, we would rather you decrease the number of trips you have to make. Carry a heavier load, but decrease the number of trips. Do you think that when the Brisa says you could carry 10 or 15, that's talking about boxes? That's not talking about boxes. What is that talking about? So he says, Akadin koi. The 10 or 15 is not talking about boxes. The 10 or 15 is talking about the jugs themselves. Velo kasha, and there's no contradiction between the Brisos. Had de mishtakli chad chad de kupa. Had de mishtakli shrei shrei. Vahad de mishtakli tlasa tlasa. So also the Gemara says that the 5, 10, 15 are talking about the size of the jugs that could be carried in the boxes. Right? So the first brisa that says 4 or 5 is where you can only fit one jug in each of the boxes. The second brisa that says 10 is where you can fit 2 jugs in each of the boxes. And the third brisa that says 15 is where you can fit 3 jugs into each of the boxes. But everyone is on the same page that when it comes to movement of mukta, which we'd rather load you up with a heavier load, but decrease the number of trips. And the Gemara says, "Ubidikuri de harpanyo." And what are we talking about? Literally, like Rashi says, "Bikadin shel harpanyo." So apparently, again, the harpanian jugs apparently were small enough that you could fit multiple jugs into one box. Okay. Iboilu. So we'll say the resolution of that sugya is, we would rather you make less number of trips, even with a heavier load, than to make multiple trips with a lighter load. So the Gemara goes weiter. Iboilu. Hani arba v'chamish teka amar. Ava gav de islei orchim tuva. Ol dilma kolofia orchim. So we'll say, when the Mishnah says, that you can go ahead and clear away 4 or 5 boxes of straw or of wheat, because of Archim, because you're going to have guests. So the question is that a cap? Is that saying 4 or 5, no matter how many guests you're having? Or 4 or 5 is as Shmuel said before, lot shomani adam, it's just an expression. What it means is you could clear away as much as you need for the number of guests you're having. Remember, you're trying to make space for your guests to sit, so you can clear out as much as you need for your guests. And if you want to say that indeed, you could clear out as much as you need to make room for your guests, chad gavra, mefani lekulu, could one person clear away the entire area? Oh, Dilma, Gavra, Gavra, Mifane Linafshe. Or do we say each person clears for himself? Each person clears for himself. We will say it doesn't literally mean that each person clears for himself. The question is, can you have one person clearing this entire thing? Or do you have to get multiple people involved in this endeavor? Tashma, the Amar Rabba Amar Abichia. Pam Achos, Halach Rabbi Lamakum Echad. One time Rabbi visited a particular place, and what happened? Vira Makum Dachuk L'Talmidim. And he was supposed to give a shiur. This apparently was on Shabbos. And he saw that the space where the shiur was going to happen was too small. It was going to be too small for the Talmidim. So what did he do? The Yatsa L'Sadi went out into the field. Umatsa Sada Malea Omrim. And he found the field filled with bundles of wheat. And what did Rebbe do? V'ime Rebbe kala sadekula. Rebbe collected all of the bundles from the field. Shmamina hakala fiyar. So also we see two things from there. Number one, we see that you're permitted to clear as what? As much space as you need for your guests. So 4 or 5 is an expression. But what it ultimately means is you're allowed to clear out whatever amount of space you need. V're Yosef am Raboshia. Pam achas halach Rebbe Chiyah l'makum echad. One time Rebbe Chiyah went to a particular place. Same thing. He was supposed to give a shir. Shabbos. He saw that the place was too small. So what did he do? He went out to the field, found the field filled with bundles of wheat. And Rabbi Chiyah collected all of the bundles, clearing the whole field. Shmamina hakol lefi ha'orchin. So Gemara says, what do you see from here? That everything is in accordance with the number of guests you're having. 4 or 5 is an expression. But you can clear out as much space you need corresponding to the number of guests that you are having. But you'll still have the kasha. Chad gavra mefani le'lekula. O dilma kol gavra ve'gavra mefani le'nafshe. But we still have the fundamental question, which is what? Can one person clear the entire area, or does everybody have to do it for themselves? So the Gemara says, well, 1 second, that Braisa seems to prove that it's not. Hashma ve'imer Rebbe. What did the Braisa say, Rabbo say? That Rebbe cleared the entire field. That Rebbe Chiyah cleared the entire field. So the Gemara says, come on. Well, the Tameich, Rebbe b'dinafshe imer, do you think that Rebbe went ahead and actually cleared the field? But also remember, Rebbe is Rebbe Huda Nasi, was the Nasi. Do you think that Rebbe was the one who literally cleared the field? Of course not. Ella, siva v'imer. Rebbe, you know what happened. Rebbe commanded someone, right? Rebbe ordered some of his guys to go ahead and clear the field. Uli olam kol chad v'chad mefani l'nafshe. And in reality, when you're having a lot of people and a large space has to be cleared, we go ahead and we ask each individual to clear their space. Bnei Arachin, supposedly, now we get some beautiful agarato. Bnei Arachin, so remember again, the Mishnah said that you can go ahead and clear out the storehouse for two reasons. Either Bnei Arachin, to make room for guests, or Bnei Bittel Beis HaMedrash, or in order to ensure that there's enough room to have the shear. So the Gemara says the following. So the Gemara says the following: Rabbi Yochanan, kedola hachnasas arachin kashkamas beis hamedrash. Hospitality, having guests, hachnasas arachin, is as great as getting up early to come to the beis hamedrash, to come to learn. Why? Diktani mipnei arachin or mipnei bittel beis hamedrash. The fact that the Mishnah equates these two, right? The Mishnah says these two concepts in the same sentence of hachnasas arachin and bittel beis hamedrash. Radimi Mena Adah, Amar, listen to this, Radimi Mena Adah says, Yoser Me'ashkamas Beis HaMedrash. In fact, actually, Hachnasas Archim is even greater than the schus of getting up early. Now, I want to be clear. The Gemara is not saying that Hachnasas Archim is greater than Torah. What the Gemara is saying over here is that Hachnasas Archim is, well, the truth is there are two ways you can understand it. It could be saying Hachnasas Archim is greater than Torah. That could be it. Or it could be, we saw in the Gemara Mesachas Brachos, that there's a kind of Hashkamas Beis HaMedrash. Is a special schus of those who come early to shul. We're all Makayim, right? So, right. So, of coming early. So the idea is that Hachnasas Archim is greater than that zchus of Hashkamas. Because remember, what is Hashkamas based on? Why is getting up early and coming to shul early important? What's the gadlus in that? The gadlus in it is, you wake up early and you do something that you're excited about, right? It demonstrates an excitement. I don't want to wait till the sun comes up. I don't want to wait till it's dawn. I don't want to wait till it's sunlight. I want to get here, Rebbe Moshe, because I'm excited to see you. Sachnasas Orchim is that same idea as well. That here what I'm saying is, I have things, it's my food, it's my house, it's my table, but yet I feel such a connection to you that I want to share that with you. So the Gemara is saying that sense of connectedness is the common denominator between the two. But there's a greater, there's this greater almost self-actualization in a connectedness to others than there is in that connectedness to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Hakhnasas Orchim is even greater than Hashkamas Beis HaMedrash. The Gemara says, how do we know? Viktani v'pnei ha'Orchim v'hadar u'mipnei bitl Beis HaMedrash. So interesting enough, Rav Dini notes the order. Because the order first, the Mishnah first says v'pnei ha'Orchim, first says Hakhnasas Orchim, and then afterwards talks about coming to the Beis HaMedrash. So the Gemara goes following. Gemara goes on. Amar Rav Yehuda Amarav, gedola Hakhnasas Orchim me'akbalas pnei ha'Shechina. Hakhnasas Orchim is even greater than greeting God Himself. How do we know that? Vayomer Hashem, im nama zasichin beinecho, al na ta'avor me'alav decho. So if you remember again, this is by Avram Avinu, right? But ultimately, this is where HaKadosh Baruch Hu is visiting Avram Avinu after the Bris Milah, according to Rashi, and the three Archim, right? The three guests show up. Avram Avinu is in the middle of a conversation with HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and essentially says to God, if you don't mind, I'm going to put you on hold for a little bit, right? I'm going to go out and greet my guests. So the Gemara says, you see from here that Hakhnasas Orchim is even greater than Kabbalas Pnei Hashechina. Amar Rebbe Lazar, Bo'u Re'ei Shalok Midas HaKadosh Baruch Hu Midas Basar Badam. See how God is different than man. In what sense? Midas Basar Badam in Katan Yochol Lomar L'God L'Hamtein Ad Sha'avo Atzlecha. When human beings, a person of lesser stature can't tell a person of greater stature, I'm putting you on hold, right? Or I want you to wait for me. Ve'ilu ba'akadosh baruch hu ksiv v'yomer Hashem imna matzasichin be'inecha. And yet we see by HaKadosh Baruch Hu that HaKadosh Baruch Hu allowed Avram Avinu to put him on hold in order that he could go greet the Archim. And amazingly enough, HaKadosh Baruch Hu remained on hold until Avram Avinu decided to come back. Of course, over here the difference is that when one is Machnes Archim, really what one is doing is one is being Mechabed HaKadosh Baruch Hu himself, because people are B'Tzelem Elokim also. Respecting and honoring other people is in and of itself a respecting and honoring of the Ribono Shel Olam. So the Gemara goes on. The Gemara says, "V'ilu b'achash profan." Amar Rabbi Yehuda bar Shila, Amar Rabbi Yosi, Amar Rabbi Asi, Amar Rabbi Yochanan. Shisha dvarim adam ochel perosein v'olam ba'olam azeh, v'akaren kayem es lo yolam haba. There are six things, that six acts that a person could enjoy the fruits of those acts in this world, but the principle remains intact and is rewarded in the world to come. And what are they? V'ilu hein, hachnasas archim, hospitality, having guests, v'igur cholim, visiting the sick, iyun tefila, having kavana when you daven, hashkamas beis hamedrash, coming early to the beis hamedrash to shul, the hamigadal banav l'talmud Torah, and one who goes ahead and raises his children for a life of Talmud Torah. Well, so what that means is instilling the value of Talmud Torah in one's children, that one's children grow up to be true lomdei Torah. V'adon es chaver l'kafzichus, and one who judges his friend favorably. So these six things are things for which you are rewarded in this world. That's the parosim ba'olam hazeh. And ultimately, the principle is kept intact, and you are rewarded in the world to come. So the Gemara goes weiter. The Gemara says, "Ini, is that so?" I'm sorry. Is that so? V'ha'an antan, but we learned, Eilu dvarim shadamo ose osam, v'ochal parosim ba'olam hazeh. We have another Mishnah, right? And the Mishnah says, these are the things that a person does in this world, eats the fruit of his labors in this world, but the principle remains intact for the world to come. So the Gemara says, and these are they, kibur avayim, honoring one's parents, gabilos chasodim, acts of kindness, v'havaz shalom ben adam l'chavero, creating peace between people, v'talmud Torah k'neged kulam, and Talmud Torah, right? So we have a different six. So what is it? So the Gemara says, haniyin, and the inference from this Mishnah is that it's dafka these six and not any other six. Also, just by the way, just to understand the Maral comments on this idea of ochel perosein ba'olam hazeh, that you eat the fruits of these things in this world. What does that mean? So lav dafka, it has to mean that you get rewarded from God. What it means is these are the kinds of things that yield good life fruit in this world. If you look at this list of items, these are the things that if you do them, you will have a meaningful life. Because if you look at the combination of items, these are things that enhance my relationship with God, and these are things that enhance my relationship with my fellow. That in and of itself is the perosein ba'olam hazeh. To have a good relationship with people, to have a good relationship with the Ribono Shel Olam, that there's no greater reward than that. So what do we do with the two lists? To which the Gemara says, Haninami, Haninami, Bahani Shayochi. So the Gemara says, in reality, the two lists are actually one. Look at Rashi, Haninami, Bahani Shayochi, Hachnasas Archim, Ubikar Cholim, Hainu Gemilas Hasodim, Iyum Tfila, Hainu Bechlad Gemilas Hasodim. So the point the Gemara makes over here is that Lenaisa, you can combine the two lists because they pretty much speak to the same things, same ideas. Fine. Tash Tan Rabbanan. So we'll say, you know, this is where we say this paragraph, right? Every morning in Birchas HaTorah. Tan Rabbanan. Hadan es chaver lekaf sechus, don en osa leschus. If you judge your friend favorably, you yourself will be judged favorably. Umaaseh, so the Gemara tells an incredible story. Umaaseh, ba'adam echad shiar migala ha'alyon, v'niskar itzal balabayis, echad bedarom. Listen to this. So there was a story of a man who came from the Galil, up north in Eretz Yisrael, and he was a hired worker by a man in the south of Eretz Yisrael for 3 years. I will say, interestingly enough, you'll note this Gemara is quoted elsewhere, and in fact, when it's quoted elsewhere, the worker is identified as Rabbi Akiva. Right? Rabbi Akiva is the worker. This is before Rabbi Akiva became Rabbi Akiva. He was just Akiva. He was a worker. So listen to this story. So Rabbi Akiva goes away from his family for 3 years to work. So what happened? Erev Yom Kippur, Amarlo, Tenli Tzchari, Ve'ezel, Ve'elech, Ve'ezon, Es'isht, Ve'azon, Es'ishti, Ubanai. So Rabbi Akiva turns to his employer, one Erev Yom Kippur, 3 years later, and says, listen, pay me, because I want to go home, I want to see my family, I have to bring home money. Amarlo, Einli Ma'os. So what does the employer say? Have no money. So Rabbi Akiva says, Amarlo, fine, Tenli Peros, you can pay me in produce. Amarlo, Einli, I don't have. Tenli Kairka, pay me in land. Ainli, tainli behema, pay me animals. Ainli, tainli karmikistos, give me karmikistos. Literally, are mattresses and pillows, right? Ainli, hip. The employer has nothing. Hifshel kelev laachorav. The worker Rabbi Akiva, literally, you can imagine this. You know, puts his sack on his back. V'halach lebeisol bepachin nefesh, and he went home in a very dejected state. Obviously, he just worked 3 years, and he has nothing. So what happened? Li'achar haregel, remember, Rabbi Akiva goes home for Yom Kippur. After Sukkis, li'achar haregel, notel balabayis scharo biyado. The balabayis, the employer, set out to go to Rabbi Akiva's home. And he went where he apparently now he had the wages. Ve'imo masui gimel chamorin. And with him, with the employer, he also took 3 donkeys. Echad shal machol, one carrying food. Echad shal mishta, one carrying drink. Ve'echad shal minei megadim, and one filled with carrying all kinds of delicacies. V'halach lo lebeso, and he went to the house of Rabbi Akiva. Acher she'achlo v'shaso, nason lo scharo. So the employer and the employee sat down, and they ate and they drank, and after they finished eating, so the employer gave to the employee his wages for the 3 years. Amar lo, so listen to this. So the employer said, v'shash amarti li, ten li schari, v'amarti ein li mos. So here's what's interesting. So the employer was amazed. What was he amazed by? That here, Rabbi Akiva asked him to get paid, and asked him all these different things to pay him with. And the guy said, I don't have. So the employer was curious. He said, tell me, Rabbi Akiva, what was going through your mind? Right? What did you think? What did you think was happening? When you asked me to pay you money, and I said I didn't have. What did you suspect me of? Amarti, I thought to myself, so this is Rabbi Akiva speaking, Shema prakmatia bezonis dam locha, vilakcha bohen. I thought maybe some merchandise became available in the cheap, right? Some merchandise was cheap. And what did you do? You spent all of your money, all of your cash, purchasing merchandise. That's why you had no cash. Ubishasha amarta li, tainli behema, ba amarti, ainli behema. And when you asked me to pay you in animals, and I said I didn't have any animals, what did you suspect me of? Amarti, shema muskeres biadachirim. I thought maybe your animals were rented out to others. Bishar shamarti li tainli karka. When you asked me for land, v'amarti l'cha inli karka. B'machasharatani. What did you suspect me of? Amarti, shema muchreches biadachirim. Maybe you leased it out to others. Ubishar shamarti l'cha inli peros. And when you asked me to pay you in produce, and I told you that I didn't have produce, What did you suspect me of? Amartya became a shema inan usaros. I thought maybe you hadn't tied them. Because you hadn't tied them, you couldn't give them to me. Ubisha shamarti lacha. In the kind of kistos, but machashalatani. And when I told you that I didn't even have, you know, pillows and mattresses, what did you suspect me of? Amarti shema hikdish kol mechasav l'shamayim. Rabbi Akiva said, I figured to myself, maybe you went ahead and you consecrated all of your property to Hekdish, right? And because you consecrated all your property to Hekdish, you had no rights in your own property. You couldn't give me anything. Amarleis, listen to this. The employer says, Ha'avoda. That's exactly what happened. Kach haya, hidarti kol mechasai bishul horkunus bini. I went ahead and I was makdish. I consecrated all of my property, giving it over to the Beis HaMikdash, because of Horkinus, my son, Shelo Asak Batora, because he was not learning. Right? He was not learning. Because my son Horkinus was not living and leading a life of Torah, I consecrated all of my property to the Beis HaMikdash, so that Horkinus, my son, should have no portion in it. Okay, Shabasi, and therefore again, the employer says to Rabbi Akiva, that's why I was unable to give you anything. Because at the time that you came to me and asked me for your wages, none of my property actually belonged to me. And what happened? Well, kishabasi etzel chaveri bedarom, when I came to my friends in the south, hetiru li kol nidorai. They did ataras nidorim. They did ataras nidorim, and I was able to take back possession of my property. Viata, and he says, Rabbi Akiva, and you, kishim shedan tani l'schus, the same way you judged me favorably, Hamakom Yadin Oschalus. Such a beautiful story. The same way you judged me favorably, HaKadosh Baruch Hu should judge you favorably. Amazing. Tanra upon another story. There was once an episode of a certain chassid, a certain pious individual, who redeemed a young woman. Bas Yisrael, Ulamalon Hishkiva Tachas Miraglosa. And that night they slept at an inn. And she slept by the foot of his bed. L'machar yarad v'taval b'shang l'tamidav. The next morning, the Talmidim saw that he got up, right, this particular chassid, he got up, and he went to the mikvah. And after going to the mikvah, after immersing, he taught Torah. So the Gemara says the following, I will say, Amar Lahan, he said to the students, b'shang shish kaftia tachas margalosa macha shalatani. So we'll say, after that, this story looks strange. Why? Because first of all, well, obviously why, right? Because the chassid is having the young girl sleep by the feet of his bed, which, okay. And then remember, the next morning he's going to the mikvah. Now remember, why is he going to the morning the next morning? Why would somebody be going to the mikvah the next morning? Remember, Takanas Ezra, that a person is going to the mikvah after having a seminal emission before learning Torah. So he sits down, he starts the shir, and he says, tell me what you think of my behavior. Tell me what you think happened. So Amar Lahan, when I had her sleep at the foot of my bed, tell me, what did you think? Amru Amarnu Shema Yesh Banu Talmud Shino Baduk L'Rebbe. We thought maybe you were scared to leave her with one of us, because maybe there's someone within the group who you don't know well, and therefore again, you were concerned with leaving her with one of us. When you saw me go to the mikvah, what did you think this morning? We thought maybe because of the exertion of the road, the Gemara talks about this, that sometimes because of the exertion of travel, the stress of travel, so a person experiences a seminal emission, and that's why Rebbe went to the mikvah this morning. Amar Lahem, he said to them, Ha'avoda kachaya. This is indeed what happened. U'kishva'atem, kishem shedantuni l'kaf sechus, ha'mokom yodin eschem l'kaf sechus. The same way you judged me favorably, so too HaKadosh Baruch Hu should judge you favorably. Bosei, the Gemara goes on. Tan Rabbanan, and one more story. Tan Rabbanan, pam achas hutzruch davar echod, l'tamidei chachamim, etzal matronisa achas, shekol gidoli romi mitzuyin etzla. There was once a particular episode that a matter had to be dealt with with a certain Roman noblewoman, a matronisa, whom all of the Roman noblemen used to frequent. Now I will say, why were they frequenting her? it wasn't because of her baking skills, right? It was not because she made good cookies, right? So she was known to be an exceptionally, maybe she made good cookies also, I don't know. But that's not that origami, right? So everybody frequented this room. She was apparently a very powerful woman, and there was once a major communal issue that had to be discussed with her, and the Rabbanim had to go discuss it with her. Amru mi eilech. So everybody's a little bit nervous about going to this woman, so who's going to go? Amru lem Rabbi Yoshua ani eilech. Rabbi Yoshua volunteered. So what happened? Halach Rabbi Yoshua betamidam. So Yeshua went with his tamidim. Kevan shegiel lepesach besa. When they got to the entranceway of her home, chalat tefilav berichok ad arba amos. Rabbi Yoshua took off his tefillin at a distance of 4 amos from the house. V'nichnas, he then went in. V'na'al delas b'fein, and he closed the door behind them. Achar shiyatzo, when he came out, yarad v'tabal v'shamal tamidav. He went to the mikvah, and he began to teach his students. V'amr lahem, and he said to his students, v'sha'a shechalatzdi tefillin, when I took my tefillin off, b'ma chashadatuni, what did you think of me? What did you think I was going to do? Amar, the student said, Kasava Rebbe, lo yichnesu divrei kedusha makom tuma. We said, Rebbe, we figured what you were doing is you didn't want to take in holy items into a place of impurity. B'sha'a shana alti, b'ma chashadatuni. When I closed the door behind me going into this normal woman's house, what did you think? Amarnu shema dvar malchus yesh beino lebeino. Rebbe, we know that you came to discuss important matters, and there are certain things that have to be discussed behind closed doors. B'sha she'aradati v'tavalti. When I came out and I went to the mikvah, b'ma chashadatuni. What did you suspect me of? Amarnu shema nissa tzinura mipiha abegadav shal Rebbe. Maybe some of her spittle, right? Maybe when you were talking to her, she spit on you. She spit on you in the course of talking, and because that, remember, for people who are makbid on tuma and tahara, so saliva has the ability to convey tuma as well. So therefore, maybe she spit on you, or landed on your clothing, therefore into the mikvah. Amar lahem ha'avoda kachaya. This is what happened. Ukeshem va'atem keshem shedantuni l'schus hamakom yotin eschem l'schus. The same way that you judge me favorably, HaKadosh Baruch Hu should judge you favorably as well. You know what the amazing part of this is so countercultural. We are so cynical. We are so cynical, and we actually, unfortunately, have the exact opposite challenge. We think the worst of every single person in every single situation. And the greater the person is, the more cynical we tend to be, and sarcastic we tend to be in how we treat them. And the truth is, what the Gemara is saying over here is, it's not good on many levels. It's not good for relationships. It's not good for us as a person. Being down the kafzuchos sometimes causes one to go beyond what they would their default position of cynicism and sarcasm. But ultimately, what the Gemara is saying over here is, if a person is able to be down the kafzuchos with others, so that allows HaKadosh Baruch Hu to act with me in kind. We all need the benefit of doubt from God. Because a lot of times we do things that are bad, but we don't really mean them to be bad. And if we're going to be cynical and sarcastic with others, then ultimately we have to expect that same level of, we have to expect the same reaction from HaKadosh Baruch Hu. But if we go out of our way to find the zchus, no matter how far-fetched it may be, but to be able to malamid zchus on the actions of another, we could expect that same divine reciprocity. So the Gemara goes weiter. The Gemara says, back to the Mishnah. They find in Truma Tahora. You can go ahead and you can move Truma on Shabbos. Truma on Shabbos. Pshita. That's obvious, right? Why wouldn't you move Truma? Why would you move Truma on Shabbos? Lo tzricha d'mancha b'yad Yisrael. Because it's not talking about Truma in the hand of a Kohen. It's talking about what? Truma in the home of a Yisrael. Ma'od temo, what I have thought. Kevan d'lo chazilei aser. I might have thought that since the Yisrael can't eat Truma, therefore what? Therefore, by definition, it's totally mutza, and it shouldn't be able to move it at all. Kamash Mulam Kevan the Chazi Lakoin Shapir Dami. Therefore, the Mishnah teaches us that what? Since Truma is edible. It's not edible by me, right? But it is edible by Kohanim. Therefore, by definition, the item is not mutza. Udmai. And you can move Demai. Now, also remember, Demai is produce that you're not sure what the status is. Demai itself is a contraction. Demai. What is this? So it's produce that it may have been tied, may not have been tied, you're not sure. So the Gemara says, you have to tie it again, midrabanon. So the Gemara says, Demai, why should you be able to move Demai on Shabbos? Halo chazilei, you can't eat it. Right, you can't eat it. So if you can't eat it, because you have to retie it, and you can't tie it on Shabbos, then why are you permitted to move it? So the Gemara says, oh, kevan di boy mafkele le nechase, bahavile ani, the chazilei, because also listen to this, there is one group of people who could eat Demai without retithing it, the poor. right? You can give demai to the poor, and you don't. The poor don't have to be tithed.
Why?
So Gemara says, I'm sorry.
Why?
Because it's the Rabban, and Chazal chose not to impose that halacha here. So because a person could go ahead and be mafkir all of his chasim, because a person could go ahead and choose to go ahead and relinquish ownership of all of his possessions and essentially become instantaneously poor, right? If I say all of my possessions are hefker, I'm poor, I don't own anything anymore. At that moment, I'd be permitted to go ahead and eat demai. So because of that, hashta nami chazile. So therefore, so now also, essentially it's the same answer as the truma, that since technically speaking, it is edible, and it could even technically be edible by me, were I to go ahead and be mafkir all of my possessions, therefore, we view it as edible now, so even though in reality now it's not edible. But since it has the capacity to be edible, we view it as halachically edible, and therefore it's not mukza disnan, ma'achilin es ha'aniyim demai. You could give the poor, you could allow the poor to eat demai. The es ha'achsanya demai. Achsanya rabotzai are soldiers. Soldiers that are stationed, look at Rashi. Achsanya cheil shel melech Yisrael, umatilo al b'nei ha'ir lefarnasan. So it's about the Jewish king. Stationed the Jewish army throughout the country. So when the army is stationed by you, you have an obligation to go ahead and provide food for the army. You can go ahead and give demai to the soldiers. So according to Afuna, Machalogis Beisham Beisilal, Beisham says the poor and the soldiers can't eat demai. And according to Beisilal, Halacha Lemaisa, you can go ahead and give both the aniyim as well as the achsanya demai. So we'll say the Mishnah reflects the view of Beis Hillel that therefore, because demai is edible by the aniyim, by the achsanya, and a person could technically speaking make himself into an instantaneous honey by giving up all of his possessions, therefore the demai is not muktzah on Shabbos and can be moved. Again, remember, in all of these cases, right, so therefore the demai is not considered muktzah and it may be moved on Shabbos. We'll stop over here.